Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is March 2nd, 2022, Wednesday night, Dynamite. I want to thank you for tuning in. And obviously, we have a very interesting show to talk about tonight. Tony Khan making his announcement, the massive announcement that I think over the last couple of weeks, many out there pretty much predicted that this was going to be what it was. I know we talked about it, and thank you, I think it was Tommy, for a little shout out earlier. Yeah, we talked about it the night that Tony Khan was on Busted Open. And yeah, we'll talk about the announcement. I'll read you the press release, and I will give you my honest thoughts of Tony Khan purchasing Ring of Honor. Sole owner, not minority investor. It's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. Believe it or not, for us as wrestling fans, you may want a markish owner like Tony Khan. And I say that as a compliment. Believe me, I say that as a compliment. Because a corporate entity, someone that is more about profit, loss margins, the bottom line, if Ring of Honor does not start turning around a profit, it'll just be out there for the video library and nothing else. But with someone like Tony Khan that has a giant financial nest egg that he could fall back on, even if Ring of Honor is losing money, he may still keep it around. Just so he is not labeled the next Vince McMahon. The fate of Ring of Honor is in my hands. We'll talk about that. Everybody's getting a little situated. We just had an excellent lead-in to AEW Revolution Dynamite. We will get into a quick recap of Dynamite. We will get into a recap of NXT. I will give you predictions for Revolution, which takes place this Sunday. But first, let's get into the major news. Now, without getting into every little nook and cranny, a couple of weeks ago, Tony Khan went on Busted Open, announced he had a massive announcement. Couldn't reveal it yet. His legal team, non-disclosure. All right. That's different wording than Forbidden Door. And if you remember that night on the Q&A that I had done over here, people were asking me, you know, what do you think? I said, you know what? I got an outside-the-box idea. I said, I don't think this is Forbidden Door. I think this is him investing in a promotion. We didn't think it was NWA. We didn't think it was Impact Wrestling. But Ring of Honor, I kept focusing. Well, originally we thought Control of Narrative, but once I started learning a little bit about Control of Narrative, I was like, nah, I don't think Tony Khan wants anything to do with that promotion. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad promotion, but Tony Khan and that company, I don't think Forbidden Door will be applying to CYN. But, you know, I thought about Ring of Honor, and I thought about Terminus. Now, Ring of Honor has a very attractive library. More than anything else, you know, the library is extremely valuable. Now, I just want to get into a couple of specifics right off the bat. How much did Tony Khan pay to purchase Ring of Honor? We don't know. I mean, he's not a publicly traded company. You know, for those that don't know, Steve Joseph, what's up, my brother? If I had the money, would I have purchased Ring of Honor? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Thank you for that super chat, by the way. You're on point. I'm getting to that. You know, for those that don't know, Tony Khan has opened up a I guess it's going to be a holdings company. You know, maybe a limited liability corporation. It's not publicly traded. Has nothing to do with Shad Khan. This is Tony Khan's baby. He has got his own corporation. He is the owner. He is the head honcho. And the corporation purchased Ring of Honor. Now, before I read you the press release, I want to say a couple of things right off the bat. And believe me, this I really am very passionate of what I'm about to say. It's no secret that for many years, Ring of Honor was on a lifeline. You know, I know that there's some noise on social media about Ring of Honor, but when push comes to shove and you see only two rows of fans being seated, and the only time that they can draw big is WrestleMania weekends, you know, it's there's a lot of lazy Ring of Honor fans online. Now, you go on a diet, you know, you'll hear like a lazy version of the diet. I'm on keto. I'm back on keto full blown. And there's a version called lazy keto. What's lazy keto? I'm not going to get, you know, write down everything I eat. I'm not going to add up all my macros. I'm not going to buy every little organic thing. Yeah, I'll buy a Big Mac and I'll just eat the meat. That's lazy. There's a lot of lazy wrestling fans out there that they'll tweet their fandomhood for Ring of Honor. But they ain't buying a ticket, even if they did come to their hometown 9 times out of 10. There's a lot of lazy fans out there. And that's not necessarily the fault of Ring of Honor. That is Sinclair. That is the perception of what Ring of Honor was. It felt like it was owned by a corporate company that really didn't give two shits for the most part about Ring of Honor. And, you know, towards the end, you could see that this was, it reminded me a little bit of WCW, you know, AOL Time Warner. You know, they looked at, why do we have this company? They kept it because of the library. If there was no library, Ring of Honor would have been fried years ago. But this is what I'm most passionate about. You are not required to have ever been a Ring of Honor fan to be excited about this. Whenever a new wrestling company is announced and it's backed by someone with big bucks and someone who does give a shit about wrestling, you should be excited about it. We were excited in 2002 when NWA TNA was going to be the new kid on the block. You should always be excited when a major financial backer, a major financial backer, opens up a wrestling promotion. Ring of Honor is now owned by technically a billionaire family that gives a shit about wrestling. Tony Khan is not anywhere near the most professional person out there. Some people feel that he's more of a money mark. Well, guess what? For us wrestling fans, it's probably what you want. Because, look, I've been podcasting and doing my hotline for 25 years. And for the first 20 years, all the money that went into the shows, I never got back. For all of you out there, you have hobbies. Some of you do shows yourselves. You do companies. You do certain ventures. And you may not see any profit whatsoever, but it brings you happiness. It brings you joy, and you love it. You know, Tony Khan purchasing Ring of Honor, I hear 20 million. I hear 40 million. I think the 40 million are the people that are just blowing it out of proportion. But 20 million sounds like a reasonable number. When you think of the library, you think of the name, you think of the assets, you think of the history. You know, AEW, Tony Khan now owns All In. Remember that first event, All In? It was all done by Ring of Honor. AEW didn't have rights to it. Now they have rights to it. So Tony Khan breathing new life into a promotion that was clinically dead and was pretty much a name value. That is an excellent thing. Anybody out there that would not, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and if I have friends out there that feel this way, please don't take it personal. This is not directed towards you. I have no idea how anybody feels right now, but I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart. Anybody out there that cracks jokes, anybody out there that knocks the chance that Tony Khan could put new life in a wrestling company that has been around for 20 years, you are not a wrestling fan. If you knock the possibility that wrestlers who are contractually obligated to AEW get an opportunity to get a little more work by going through the Ring of Honor banner, if you knock that, you're not a wrestling fan. Solomonster and myself talked about it on Thursday. Damn, what a bad time for Ring of Honor to be in the condition that it's in, with Cesaro now a free agent and other people out there in the world. And wouldn't it be cool if Tony Khan could swoop in there and maybe breathe new life into Ring of Honor? And that is another platform that wrestlers could go to work. And not only that, you could bring back Kari Silken. You could bring people like Gabe Sapolsky. You could bring in people who may never have taken Ring of Honor to the promised land, that they may not have had the business accolade to take it to another level outside of WrestleMania weekend. But the way that they bred and gave the young stars a chance to develop, like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and Christopher Daniels and Jay Lethal and Lowkey and Amazing Red and the SATs, and it goes on and on and on and on. You know, this could look really, really, really good. Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Darren, I'm not talking about nostalgia. The video library will be nostalgia. What I'm saying is that you have people out there that actually have a track record of developing stars of tomorrow. Yeah, maybe the people I just mentioned get the wrestlers only this far. You look at Bryan Danielson, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and you look at others. In Ring of Honor, they got this far. WWE's all the way up here. TNA is all the way up here. They got this far in Ring of Honor. Well, guess what? The stars of tomorrow, if they could get this far, yeah, some of them probably would go to WWE. But some of them could end up going to AEW. Could it be the minor leagues for AEW? Sure, why not? But again, you know, the fact that this is now owned by a family and not a publicly traded company, the fact that this is owned by someone who has an insane bankroll, that even if Ring of Honor makes no money, as long as it doesn't hemorrhage money, but it doesn't make much money, there is a chance that this guy will keep it around. And if you think about the personal animosity towards Vince McMahon and the McMahon family, I don't think Tony Khan would be able to handle social media saying, you did to Ring of Honor what Vince McMahon did to WCW. You did a stupid bullshit invasion, and then you put it on the shelf and you just used the video library. It's going to be interesting to see how Tony Khan handles some of the entrance music. You know, it's something to think about. Here's another thing to think about. What the hell is going to happen with Impact Wrestling and their Ring of Honor storyline? You know, Impact Wrestling, other than the Mickey James being in the Royal Rumble, they're back down to 100,000 viewers. You got this Ring of Honor invasion storyline going on in Impact. What the hell happens to that? What happens to that? Does Tony Khan continue to have Ring of Honor wrestlers who are under contract with Ring of Honor and have them show up in Impact? Or does he turn around and start paying them a little bit more and running Ring of Honor shows again? Now, we have Supercard of Honor WrestleMania weekend. You know, what transpires afterwards, your guess is as good as mine. Anybody out there that tells you that they know, you know, unless they are very close with Tony Khan, and I don't even think that's the case, because if anybody out there is very close friends with Tony Khan, I don't think that they would leak something like that out. So right now, only time will tell what happens with the future of Ring of Honor. The video library, you could best damn believe that shit is happening right away. I want to read you the quick press release that Tony Khan put out. And it answers pretty much every question as far as the immediate future of Ring of Honor. It probably doesn't address, you know, one particular topic, which we'll get into. And then I want to get into something about money again. So anyway, here's the first part of the press release. Video library, brand assets, intellectual property from independent pro wrestling's most prestigious promotion purchased on the new partnership with Tony Khan. March 2nd, 2022, moments ago, AEW Dynamite Live on TBS, it was announced that Tony Khan has agreed to acquire the assets of Ring of Honor Wrestling Entertainment, LLC, from Sinclair Broadcast Group, including the promotion's extensive video library dating back to 2002, brand assets, intellectual property, production equipment, and more. Known widely as the independent promotion that birthed some of wrestling's biggest stars of today, including AEW, CM Punk, and Bryan Danielson, and highlighted dozens of members of the AEW roster, Ring of Honor's purchase signifies a new chapter in the future of professional wrestling as AEW's meteoric rise continues to draw the youngest skewing wrestling audience on television. Quote, Ring of Honor's influence on modern professional wrestling is etched permanently in the history books, and this acquisition ensures that its legacy will be kept alive and treated with the utmost respect, said Tony Khan, CEO of AEW, Chief Football Strategy Officer of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and GM Sporting Director of Fulham FC. This deal adds thousands of hours of content to our rapidly growing library and creates new opportunities to expand our footprint on a national and global scale while having the potential to produce new content under the Ring of Honor banner. That's where it gets very important, what I just read. I will immediately begin exploring opportunities to make Ring of Honor's video library available to fans who will have the opportunity to witness the beginnings of the careers of some of AEW's biggest stars. More than 40 members of the AEW roster have appeared in Ring of Honor during their careers. The promotion launched the careers of numerous stars, including CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page, Britt Baker, and Adam Cole. Additional members of the AEW roster have made their mark in Ring of Honor, including the late Brody Lee, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, Jay Lethal, Christopher Daniels, Matt Sydal, Mercedes Martinez, Serena Deeb, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, Keith Lee, Eddie Kingston, Eva Luno, Stu Grayson, QT Marshall, Dan Housen, Lance Archer, Griff Garrison, Thunder Rosa, Wheeler Yuta, Luchasaurus, Orange Cassidy, Ethan Page, Austin Gunn, Pac, Kip Sabian, John Moxley, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Jerry Lynn, BJ Whipner, and Sonjay Dutt. Quote, Ring of Honor has produced some of the best professional wrestlers over the past 20 years, but more importantly, it created a family. I will forever be grateful to everyone in the Ring of Honor family who has worked tirelessly for the past two decades to take Ring of Honor to levels previously unimagined, said Joe Koff, Chief Operating Officer of Ring of Honor Wrestling. Tony has the utmost appreciation and respect for Ring of Honor, and I'm truly excited to see how he continues this legacy. This acquisition will be completed through an entity that is wholly owned by Tony Khan. Further details about the extent of this acquisition will be announced in the coming weeks. So that is your press release regarding the purchase. Tony Khan talks about keeping Ring of Honor alive, and he talks about making the video library available ASAP. Yeah, make money off of it. Sure, put that out there as quickly as you can. So this is a huge deal. And again, like I said before, it breathes new life into a promotion that has a decent track record over 20 years. And there are some very creative minds and some very talented people out there that he could bring aboard that can very well take care of Ring of Honor. And in the process, you know, Ring of Honor, you know, could tour again. Now we have WrestleMania weekend. Later on, I'll give you the current lineup. But now you could think, I would think you have to have some AEW stars on that show. Why not? So it's going to be really interesting. This is nothing but good. This is nothing but good. Maybe some people out there are not happy that Tony Khan purchased it and not someone else. But again, when you really think about it, I'd rather have someone privately own Ring of Honor and maybe, you know, put a little bit too much money into it that a corporation may pull back and say, hell no. No, 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 no. Look at the losses. Look at this. We can't do that. We got to do this. We got to cut this. We got to. Just for pride. Just for pride. I think he will do a good job with this. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. But I am very curious to see what the future holds with the Ring of Honor invasion, so to speak, in Impact Wrestling. It's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down. I didn't see anybody talk about that tonight. You know, does Tony Khan give Impact time? You know, if some of these wrestlers are no longer under contract with Ring of Honor, yeah, they could continue doing that. But, you know, when you look at it now, you know, these wrestlers using the Ring of Honor name, Tony Khan owns that. Tony Khan could turn around and tell Impact Wrestling, look, stop using Ring of Honor's name in storylines. And I know there's some people out there, you might turn around and be like, wow, that's messed up. No, it's not messed up. Guy just paid a lot of money. He owns it. All right. Now, one last thing. Like I said, people are rumoring, there's rumors going around that the sale was somewhere between $25 and $45 or $50 million. I honestly think that that number is grossly inflated. Could $20 million be the deal? Sure. I think it could. Absolutely. You know, look, did Tony Khan overpay for Ring of Honor? No, I don't think so. Because remember, they bought this from Sinclair, you know, and this is not like an emotional attachment. This is about striking while the iron is hot. I don't know if WWE ever made an offer to buy Ring of Honor. But in my opinion, I would say at the most, I would think Tony Khan paid $20 million. I don't know. But I will say this. I will say this because people are trying to compare this purchase to Vince buying WCW. I want to just tell you something about money. WCW was sold to WWF for about $2.5 million. I think that's the number everybody floats around, $2.5 million. $2.5 million in 2001 would be about $4.1 million today. If WWF purchased WCW for $4 million in 2001, $4 million today would be about $6.4 million. So when you say today that Ring of Honor could have been worth $20 million, I ask you, Ring of Honor's 20-year library and the current state that it's in, is that worth more than WCW's history and trademarks and rights? Some people may say, hell no. Here's the problem, though. Pro wrestling and its worth in 2001 was far dramatically less than what it's worth today. All right, TV rights alone, you wouldn't get anywhere near, not even a quarter of what the TV rights are today. So when you think about pro wrestling and it being sold today compared to 2001, you really cannot compare the two. You didn't have streaming video online. You didn't have apps on your phone. You didn't have those opportunities. And you sure as hell didn't have these giant TV deals that these networks were dishing out. So when you look at Ring of Honor today and you say, okay, in 2001, let me make this clear. If Ring of Honor was sold to Tony Khan today for $20 million, if you want to compare that to 2001, that means Ring of Honor would have been sold in 2001 for $12 million. You're talking 3 to 5 times more than what WCW was worth at the time. Does anybody look at that and say, Ring of Honor wouldn't have been worth that? Again, that's why you cannot compare WCW sale to Ring of Honor sale, because the rights, the TV deals, just the streaming capabilities, subscription, none of that was available in 2001. You had in-demand TV and you had, you know, pay-per-views. It's a little bit different now. So, good. I'm very, very happy that Tony Khan purchased Ring of Honor, because it breeds new life in a promotion that can be strong today. Ring of Honor, with the right people running it, there's no reason why it cannot be the number three promotion in the world. Seriously, you look at the momentum of some other companies that are out there. And think about this too. You know, keep in mind, you know, that Tony Khan owns Ring of Honor under a different corporation. So if you have wrestlers going from AEW to Ring of Honor for a feud, for a storyline, for anything else, that's a different paycheck. I'm not saying that the wrestler will be paid double, but, you know, it's not as cut and dry as far as commingling wrestlers, but the opportunities are endless. You could sign someone to Ring of Honor and never appear in AEW Dynamite. And then you can have somebody from AEW show up in Ring of Honor just to have a match or two. And, you know, people would go nuts for it. So the possibilities are almost endless of what they can do. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. So I hope he kicks ass with it. I really do. I really do. I do not believe for one bit that he puts it on the shelf. It may take 6 months, maybe more, maybe less, to get things off the ground again. But I just do not believe that Tony Khan will ever want to be compared to Vince McMahon in the way he ended up putting WCW on the shelf. So, good deal, good deal. For those that didn't see Dynamite tonight, Tony Khan, clean shaven, you know, I think a little amped up. He made the announcement in the middle of the ring, and it was cool. It was cool. I honestly can't say anything bad about this whatsoever. So you should be excited. If you're a wrestling fan and you want options, you know, bringing back Ring of Honor is another option, and it could be something pretty damn good. So we'll see what happens. We will definitely talk about it. So let's talk a little bit about Dynamite, because we've already gone 30 minutes, so we got to speed this up a little bit. Dynamite today, fabulous show. And in the spirit of Ring of Honor, Tony Khan gave us an opening match, Christopher Daniels. Remember, retired, not, it's okay. Christopher Daniels takes on Bryan Danielson today. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of photos. I want to warn you that it may seem a little bit graphic, but need not be concerned. All right, I want to just explain something, because a lot of people forgot about the match that Christopher Daniels had last year against, I believe, Frankie Kazarian. But tonight, during Bryan Danielson's match with Christopher Daniels, Christopher Daniels' eye looked horrid. It looked almost like a science fiction movie. And I saw people all over the net like, what happened in the match? Where did he get hit? This is and that. For those that don't know, Christopher Daniels has had this eye injury since last year. The best generalistic way I can explain it is that it's an eye hemorrhage. All right. If you remember, and here's warning, this is a little graphic. It looks graphic. There's bruising. But if you look at it and you really pay attention to it, you'll understand, you know, it's still serious, but, you know, it's not as bad as it looks. This was shortly after the match last year. Now, yes, there's a lot of bruising. The bloodshot of the eye, the red of the eye, is what scares everybody. If you look at it a little bit more healed, that's what his eye looks like, a little bit healed. Now, tonight, it was much more red inside the eye. Well, Christopher Daniels, he had an interview with Chris Van Vliet recently. Christopher Daniels talked about that eye injury. It's hemorrhages in the eye. It's broken blood vessels. And, you know, that's what's happening with Christopher Daniels. He could see out of his eye. It's more, he says it's more cosmetic than anything else. But he is suffering from hemorrhages. And I guess you could say broken blood vessels. So he has the match, the blood vessels break, and then it gets all red, and it, you know, he gets a little swelling as well, and it looks brutal. It looks brutal. But, you know, if you forgot about what went down last year with him and Frankie Kazarian, you know, go revisit it. Warning, you'll remember how much he was spilling blood, you know, at that time. You know, the eye injury was pretty serious, but it's now more hemorrhages than anything else. So Christopher Daniels, back with Bryan Danielson in the ring. You know, a little history there in Ring of Honor, and this is to bounce off of Ring of Honor being purchased by Tony Khan. Bryan Danielson beats Christopher Daniel with the triangle choke. And because we have Revolution this weekend, Bryan Danielson has to hype up the match with Jon Moxley. So after the match is over, Christopher Daniels is laid out on the mat, and Bryan Danielson gets on the mic, and he says, 20 years ago, when Ring of Honor started, we shook hands. And he's playing off like he's shaking Christopher Daniels' hand, even though he's laid out on the floor. And then Bryan Danielson, as any heel would, but this isn't Ring of Honor. This is AEW. He's going to stomp the shit out of Christopher Daniels. So he starts kicking him in the face, kicking him in the side of the head, and, you know, jawjacking about Jon Moxley. And he says, hey, Mox, at Revolution, the head that's going to be stomped in is going to be yours. Moxley comes out. Moxley starts cutting a promo on Bryan Danielson. They tease that they're going to brawl a little bit. Bryan Danielson rolls out of the ring, goes to the back. Great build for Sunday's match. Don't forget, in a little bit, I will give you predictions for Sunday. We had a backstage promo with Darby Allin and Sting talking about Sunday's match, but this Friday there's going to be a three-way for the TNT title. It's going to be Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara versus Andrade, and that will be going down on Friday. So now we go to the 15-team casino tag team battle royale that went on for a very long time. And look, I am going to be straight up honest of my thoughts about this match. I'm going to say one or two things that if you go back and you watch it, you're going to be like, holy shit, DT, you were right. If you look at the teams, we got Peter Avalon. We had a conversation about him recently. You had Ryan Nemeth. You got two teams of the Dark Order, 2.0, Santana and Ortiz, FTR, the Young Bucks. You had the Varsity Blondes, Butcher and the Blade, Bear Country, Brock Anderson, and Shoddy Lee. We had Private Party, which was not on the screen because Darius Martin made his return to AEW, teaming up with Dante Martin. And Darius would factor at the end of this match. We will talk about that in a little bit. We had Best Friends. We had the Acclaimed. And I think I got every team. Now, I tried to take as many notes as I could with this. But the best way I could describe this match, you go back and you watch it, with the exception of the first two teams, which was FTR and Top Flight, they brawled to kick off the Casino Battle Royale. What you will see in the entire Casino Battle Royale, I mean, every single team with the exception of one, every time a team came out, they had the floor. They had what I called, you know, you've heard the phrase 15 minutes of fame. Tonight, every team that came out there had 15 seconds of fame. If you watch it back, every time a team came out next, almost everybody would be laid out, hanging out, and then that team would get about 15 seconds to showcase offense. It happened over and over and over. We had 15 teams. The first two don't count, and 2.0 was the only other team that didn't get that. So you had, out of 15 teams, 12 teams that they came out there, and they were right smack in the middle and got 15 seconds of unadulterated offense. And look, I love pro wrestling, and I love how it's scripted and put together. And to me, it's like an art form. But after team three, you know, and you see what's happening, and every time a team comes out next, you focus on them or you focus on everybody else. And this person is like punching air, trying to make it look like they're doing something. And it just, and to me, that killed about 90% of the match. Even the end, there was a little bit too much of the scripted shit. But we had FTR and Top Flight open it up. Yeah, even Peter fucking Avalon got 15 seconds of fame tonight too. But the Acclaim come in next, Max Caster cutting a promo, and the line of the night, well, the two lines of the night, we the reason for the people in the seats, you're less popular than Glenn Jacobs' tweets. You know, it was so funny. I talked about Glenn, we're not talking about Glenn Jacobs' tweets today, but I want to just give you a little laugh. Yeah, we talked about Glenn Jacobs' tweets on Saturday and about, you know, the Ukraine, you know, situation, which is terrible. And, you know, obviously a lot of people just looked at the title and looked at the thumbnail of the show and assumed that, you know, I supported everything that he said or the opposite. And people didn't understand. You know, it wasn't necessarily what Glenn Jacobs said, it's how he said it. And could that have hurt his chances of inducting The Undertaker? Don't know. But, you know, it's been a long time. Maybe Joey Ryan is the last person I've ever seen vilified that hard on social media, anybody that was involved in wrestling. I mean, it was just crazy. It was a massacre what happened to Glenn Jacobs' social media. And look, again, he made valid points, but the way he said it, not in the middle of a terrible invasion. Not in the middle of a terrible invasion. So, all right, so the Acclaimed are in next. Allen Angels and 10 of the Dark Order come in next. And then the Butcher and the Blade. So far, no one is eliminated. And then finally, Allen Angels is eliminated. Get out of there. The Varsity Blondes are in next. During the commercial break, Bear Country is in. Santana and Ortiz come in after the commercial break, and I hope a lot of you remembered what I said about Santana and Ortiz 2 weeks ago. If you did, then even though you were disappointed of their outcome in this match, it should have been expected, and I'll repeat why. Santana and Ortiz eliminate Bear Country. Max Caster is then eliminated. Best Friends come out next. Griff Garrison, eliminated by Anthony Bowens. Evil Uno and Stu Grayson come in next. The Butcher and the Blade get eliminated. Young Bucks come in. Then Peter Avalon and Ryan Nemeth. The Gun Club come in, but they are quickly eliminated by FTR and the Young Bucks, who were working with each other for a short period of time. Allen Angels eliminated. Lee Johnson and Brock Anderson come in. Anthony Bowens does to 10 what Ricky Starks did to 10 last week. He turns the mask. Is 10 going to be getting rid of that mask soon? I have a feeling. But this is the second time that the mask has been pulled sideways. He gets eliminated. Chuck Taylor eliminated by Ortiz. The wingmen get eliminated. Then 2.0 come in. And 2.0 was the only other team that did not get the 15 seconds of fame. They played a little bit like chicken shits. They got beat up a little bit. Their involvement was a little bit of a mess, and I'll tell you why shortly. Brock and Lee get eliminated. Top Flight eliminates Anthony Bowens. Then we get stupidity. And again, I'm a fan of Danhausen. I have multiple shirts, and I've always praised Danhausen. But I keep thinking about Eddie Kingston. This is not a sports entertainment company. Oh, yeah? Evil Uno is basically brawling, you know, on the edge of the ring, I think with, I think it was Chuck Taylor. And Danhausen comes out from under the ring and he points to Evil Uno and apparently put a curse on Evil Uno and Evil Uno gets eliminated. And to quote Jim Ross, and Jim, I feel you 1,000%. Jim Ross's exact words were, good Lord, guys, good Lord. It was just hokey, stupid. It's funny for a house show, but it was just not necessary. Just not necessary. Santana and Ortiz start brawling with 2.0 outside standing on the apron. They clothesline 2.0 and they don't go over the rope. They're struggling to flip over the rope and it just looked like a freaking mess. And now you see 2.0 and FTR and they're brawling, Santana Ortiz, they're brawling on the rope. And Santana Ortiz eliminate 2.0, but then FTR eliminates Santana Ortiz. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago. AEW is not going to give Santana and Ortiz a tag team title shot until they are going to win it. They're not going to be put in a tag team title match just to lose. That's why for the last 2 weeks you've seen what you have seen. When it is time for Santana and Ortiz to win the tag team titles, they will get the opportunity. And this frustrates fans. And look, you know, this is almost like the equivalent of blue balls. You know, fans, I think, want Santana Ortiz as the tag champs more than even Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. And AEW refuses to pull the trigger right now. And it's teasing and teasing and teasing. And, you know, you got to strike sometimes with storyline while the iron is hot. You know, I have nothing against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, but their tag title run, you know, has not been, I mean, you know, if this was a secondary tag team title, I'd say, yeah, they're fighting the Acclaimed. They're fighting the Gun Club. They're fighting 2.0. You know, they're not. You see what's going on. So something's got to give. Maybe the complaints online. You know, if people are loud enough, then maybe AEW does jump on it a little bit earlier. So Santana and Ortiz are eliminated to a chorus of boos by the fans. By the way, they were back in Florida, Daly's place. Loud, energetic crowd. They made it more fun tonight. Trent eliminated by Nick Jackson. So now we're down to the Young Bucks, FTR, and Top Flight. We had Dante Martin eliminate Cash from the match, but inadvertently goes over the top rope also. We then get a super kick by the Young Bucks eliminating Dax due to distraction from Red Dragon, who came out. Now, Red Dragon, you know, they're teasing a little bit of, you know, not getting along with the Young Bucks, but this time around, you know, they distracted FTR a little bit, and the Young Bucks eliminated Dax. So now we're down to the Young Bucks and Darius Martin. And part of it was entertaining as hell. But if you go back and you watch Matt Jackson running against the rope, looking at his partner as he's running against, because for those that don't know, you know, Nick Jackson was standing on the apron outside the ring. and Matt Jackson gets thrown, and he's running towards the rope, and he's looking at his partner, and he just runs right into him and eliminates him. It looked awful on TV. Then you add Matt Jackson and Darius Martin. They're on the apron, and they're exchanging the punches. And you know how it is. Boo, yay, boo, yay. And, you know, Matt Jackson a little bit extra acting, you know, just selling it like he's almost dead. Dueling punches, but then Matt Jackson with an awesome-looking low blow, followed by a super kick. And the Young Bucks are your winner. They go on to Revolution. They will be in the three-way tag team match for the tag titles. It'll be the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, who are the tag champs. So after the match is over, you know, the Red Dragon is sort of celebrating with the Young Bucks a little bit. And not too bad. You know, not too bad. I thought it was an okay match, but a lot of the overscripting I could have done without. But that's what happens when you have a lot of people in the ring that really do not dictate. You add a lot of the bigger names, but, you know, when you have a whole bunch of teams that really have no ring presence, you know, this is what it is. Hey, you come out there, you dominate somebody for 15 seconds. Hey, everybody, when a team goes in the ring, except for 2.0, when they go in the ring, if you happen to be in the middle, you got to take, you know, for 15, it happened over and over and over and over. If I said that 12 times, you'd disconnect the show. Backstage interview with Chris Jericho, and he's putting down Eddie Kingston. He says Eddie Kingston will finally get his chance to win the big one, and Chris Jericho brings back GFY, which I know nobody was happy to hear return. But then we get an interesting little moment. Santana Ortiz, who had just lost the tag team Casino Battle Royale, they show up, and they look at Jericho, and they're removing their wrist tape, and Jericho sticks out his fist, and they fist pump Jericho. And Jericho says, are we good? And Santana and Ortiz walk off. So, you know, is this going to be a swerve at the pay-per-view? It's possible. It's very possible. So now we get CM Punk and MJF. And, you know, I don't know why so many people online did not see this coming. I mean, we talked about it last week. Talked about it on Thursday with Solomonster. We talked about it over the weekend that MJF has to swerve everybody. He has to. Even if the story is true, it's got to look like a setup. It had to. There's no baby. I just was blown away by people saying he cut a babyface promo last week. You know, I always think of that story that Jake the Snake Roberts used to tell. And we've brought it up in the past. Donald Trump, when he ran for president, this is not a plug for Trump, just saying, when he ran for president, he used to recite the story of the snake. Remember the snake? You know, snake is injured. Woman brings the snake in the house. She's taking care of the snake. She's feeding the snake. The snake is appreciative and she cares for the snake, brings it back to health. The snake is happy, being treated like gold and this and that. And the snake bites her and kills her. And she's like, why did you kill me? And he's like, because I'm a fucking snake. Duh. But the way they executed it tonight, man, did CM Punk bleed. And yes, I have some photos. CM Punk comes out. He talks about a few times tonight how he splashed water on his face this morning. And he believes that MJF's story is true, but he feels like MJF is gaslighting him. He brings up some of his own history. He brings up, for those that didn't know, the three scenarios he was talking about. First, he brought up that CM Punk, when he was younger, had a picture of him with Steve Austin. He didn't get mad at Steve Austin when he took his ball and went home. So, you know, why is MJF so angry at CM Punk? He brings up some of what MJF has done in AEW, brings up how MJF knocked out Dean Malenko, who's suffering from Parkinson's. And CM Punk uses the phrase that I love to use on this show, that I have said countless times, hurt people hurt people. That's what happens. You see it every day, whether it's social media, in the real world, hurt people hurt people. He wants MJF to come out, the MJF from last week. And MJF comes out. And CM Punk reminds MJF and the world that he has not always been a good person. He brings up a couple of storylines. He brought up mocking a wrestler's addiction until he lost his job. And, you know, a lot of people believe that that had to do with Jeff Hardy. He brings up pouring alcohol down an alcoholic's throat, which I believe was Raven in Ring of Honor. He brings up taking a dead person's ashes, Paul Bearer, and, you know, his feud with The Undertaker at that time. And he thinks that MJF is being real. And CM Punk on the mic, you know, extending his hand. Now, when you saw all the white being worn, you know, I think that was a telltale sign for a lot of you that somebody was going to be spilling blood leading into this pay-per-view. Because quite a few of you said that tonight as well. Oh, somebody's spilling blood. They're wearing a whole bunch of white. So what happened? CM Punk extends his hand. MJF, CM Punk, shake hands, little hug. And then MJF hits him in the nuts. Beautiful nut shot. Oh, I was hoping Jim Ross would do, like I said, Thursday. I was hoping just to repeat when Vince McMahon was revealed as the higher power. I will always remember Jim Ross that night. Oh, son of a bitch. I was hoping for something like, we didn't necessarily get that tonight, but the nut shot was fabulous. He then hits the heat seeker on CM Punk. Then he takes off his red button-down shirt to reveal a white t-shirt, another white piece of clothing with the vintage picture of him and CM Punk. He brings out Wardlow and Shawn Spears. He takes the dynamite ring from Wardlow. Shawn Spears has the chain and he knocks out CM Punk with the ring. CM Punk busted open. Like you couldn't imagine. I mean, really busted open. So he's got CM Punk laid out. FTR comes out in the Pinnacle. They're holding off security so nobody could hit the ring. MJF gets on the mic and he says, "You stupid old man, I'm a snake. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. He is going to show him, CM Punk, and all these mindless sheep, I am the devil himself." And meanwhile, CM Punk is busted open. He orders Shawn Spears to put the chain, the dog collar, around CM Punk's neck. And MJF, all that white clothing, they made sure that it was going to be covered in blood. And MJF is wiping the blood on CM Punk. And this is... yeah, I mean, he bled profusely. I mean, and the visual was insane. I mean, it really was. It just, this match is going to have nuclear heat on Sunday. I don't want to reveal my predictions yet, but man, did this lead into Sunday. I mean, I honestly think people are looking forward to this match more than any other on this card. No joke. So, you know, it just, it was an incredible segment. I mean, MJF and CM Punk's feud is turning out to be one of the, you know, if not greatest feud that AEW's had, I'm telling you. And it's short, I mean, not around that long, but there's a lot of people out there that actually feel CM Punk and MJF is the greatest feud AEW's ever had. And you remember, they almost cut it short. You remember after that first match when CM Punk got on the mic? I'm now on to championships. And fans online were in an uproar. Why even postpone this feud? Keep the shit going. AEW listened. That is one time where they listened. And they're like, fuck it, let's just keep it going. Keep it going. I mean, Sunday, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't wanna go too far ahead. So, you know, obviously tonight was a lot of storyline driven. You know, some of the matches. So, we have a backstage segment, another one, with Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks, and Keith Lee. And this time around, Ricky Starks, hey, I'm going to be on Rampage. I don't want to see you there. Keith Lee, I'll see you there. So, we know Keith Lee is going to be at Rampage. We find out later what he's going to be doing. We had a mess of a tag team match. Mercedes Martinez and Thunder Rosa defeating Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. This was honestly not very good. I mean, even the opening back and forth, it just, I don't know. I don't know whose fault it was between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, but it started off kind of awkwardly. Somebody froze, and then the other one froze. We get the match. At some points, it's okay, but then we get a moment where Rebel is outside the ring with Jamie Hayter, and Mercedes Martinez dives outside the ring onto them. And Thunder Rosa just out of nowhere hits the Thunder Driver. It just fell flat. It was just not a good match at all. But it leads into Sunday. Not a lot of people are happy that Britt Baker ate the pin. You know, is that a telltale sign of Sunday? Ty Conti interview in the back. We're reminded that she has a degrees in, I think, judo. Jade Cargill comes out. Nobody cares about that karate shit. And we get some, you know, kind of like NXT, you know, 2.0 promos from both sides. You know, I have nothing against that Sterling, Mark Sterling. He's horrible too, though. I have nothing personally against him. He's just horrible. I mean, is anybody out there? I mean, see, the old DT would say something different, but what favors is he doing for people to get that kind of, I mean, I tolerated Harvey Whippleman with Sid a little bit better than this. This is just, I don't know, not feeling it. But then again, you know, you don't have too much of a selection there. Sammy Guevara comes out during the commercial break with his signs. The feud that absolutely refuses to die, you know, Chris Statlander and Layla Hirsch, is this like the Veer of AEW? Like every week we keep seeing this shit, this feud that just won't die, ended already. Cesar Bononi loses to Wardlow. We get the Powerbomb Symphony. After the match is over, Sean Spears tries to steal the spotlight with the chair. Wardlow stops him. They have a stare down. A little intense, crowd is chanting Wardlow. Nothing comes out of it until they go to the back. I know I'm going a little out of place, but in the back, we have Wardlow and Sean Spears about to be interviewed. Like, things got a little heat out of it. MJF shows up, and MJF says to Ward, like, look, if you win the ladder match at Revolution and you win the TNT title, I will let you keep the title. But I know you're not going to win. And I like Wardlow, but his comeback felt scripted and it felt like no emotion. And Wardlow, because when MJF says, yeah, but I'm sure you're going to lose. You know, you lose all the time. And Wardlow's like, because I'm always here making sure that you don't lose. Just, I don't know. It's just, for some reason, it just felt flat. But MJF smacks him in the face really hard. And MJF reminds him that he pays Wardlow and, you know, his family will be screwed and Wardlow is screwed if he, so, you know what's coming. You know what's coming. So now we get the main event and, you know, I think it was pretty a predictable match. Nothing against John Silver or Alex Reynolds, but, you know, I know that they're over with AEW fans, but again, I don't know if I put them in main events like this. And of course, they're in there with a simple reason of one of them to take a pin, and that's what happens. You get Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. They defeat Hangman Page. Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Alex Reynolds eats the boom from Adam Cole. After the match is over, a little after match beatdown, they end up tying or wrapping tape around Hangman Page's wrists and the ropes, and they proceed to sort of assault him a little bit. John Silver goes back in the ring. He takes a shot. There was an awkward moment where Bobby Fish just happened to be sitting on the floor right near Hangman Page, so Hangman Page kicks him, which just looked dumb. They go aside. Then if you notice, when Hangman Page's wrists came off the rope, you've seen the tape starting to come off, so he had to grab the ropes again. Adam Cole grabs the belt. You know, I think Hangman Page and Adam Cole are going to tear the house down. But, you know, without getting too much into my prediction, I just don't see any way, shape, or form Hangman Page is losing that title to Adam Cole. I don't care how much AEW wants to write a lot of the, you know, mocking that Adam Cole gets online, but awarding him or giving him an opportunity to that belt right now is, to me, not the way to do it. I will say this. I was going to get into Tony Khan's media call today, but honestly, nothing came out of it. I mean, so half the reporters are just trying to get their name noticed online. They're asking questions that are just ridiculously dumb and just general. You know, it's like fawning over Tony Khan and some others. The only one that actually I found interesting was, I don't know if it was Brandon Thurston that asked it, but somebody asked like about Trios title. And Tony Khan gave a very interesting response. He said that he doesn't want to think about the possibility of a Trios title until Kenny Omega returns. And I just found that really odd. I mean, we all know what Kenny Omega's role is in AEW, but I don't know why that, you know, because a lot of people feel that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are going to be Trios champions down the line. But to publicly say, you know, that he wants to wait till Kenny Omega returns to, like, talk about that or consider it, I don't know. But I enjoyed this episode of Dynamite. Maybe some of the filler was not that, but, you know, just the announcement for Ring of Honor, Bryan Danielson versus Christopher Daniels was excellent. MJF and CM Punk, seriously, that just stole everything. I mean, it just, you couldn't top it. It's just an incredible feud that, you know, we should all be very, very happy that AEW decided to keep going. So Rampage this Friday, we have Andrade versus Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin. The TNT title will be up for grabs. Keith Lee will be in action, but they don't tell us who. We have Serena Deeb's 5-minute challenge and Christian Cage versus Ethan Page for the last spot in the Face of the Revolution qualifier. Very interesting to go with Christian Cage and Ethan Page. Not because their names rhyme. Ethan Page, I could see, but I'm a little surprised when you think about this overall roster that they went with that match for the last spot. I don't know. What we expected was going to happen did happen. The announcement was made tonight that Hook will be taking on QT Marshall for the buy-in at AEW Revolution. This was the buildup that we talked about for the last month that, you know, hey, I even said last week, you know, QT Marshall does so much behind the scenes. If the trade-off is he gets a buy-in match against Hook, so what? You know what I mean? It's, you know, he's going to make Hook look that much better. I mean, he's very, very proud of Hook. So he is going to bump the shit out of himself for Hook. So, without further ado, let's get into predictions. So, Hook versus QT Marshall, I think that's a given. Hook will not be given his first loss by Who Dat. I don't even think Who Dat would consider that. So, Hook will win that match. Jay Cargill defending the TBS championship against Ty Conti I am going with Jay Cargill to retain. It's not even a question. They're not changing that undefeated streak for a long, long time. I'm very curious about this match. Ty Conti can carry it. I want to see how Jade Cargill handles Ty Conti. Would I put it similar to when Steven Regal took on Goldberg? Remember when Steven Regal, you know, tried to like, no, I wouldn't put it on that level, but Ty Conti, it's going to be an interesting dynamic between the two. I want to see how Jade Cargill handles some of that offense, so we'll see. Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy with Mark Quinn in their corner versus Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara. Six-man tornado tag team match. Obviously, with Sting, you're going to do the no DQs, anything goes, walk around and just punch, hit a bat. You know, Sting feels good enough, you know, a dive that he probably shouldn't be doing at his age. I can't see them giving the win to Matt Hardy, Andrade, and Isaiah Cassidy. I think Isaiah Cassidy being in this match is the way out for them to eat the pin. I go with Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy Guevara to get the win. We might see a little bit of teasing of Sammy and Darby not on the same page with each other, but they will win that match. Jurassic Express defending the AEW tag team titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, a.k.a. Red Dragon, and the Young Bucks. I think, honestly, boy, my original thought was, all right, maybe you need to take them off of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, but that's if Santana or Ortiz would have been in this match. Hell, I would have been fine with FTR being in this match and taking the belts. I think Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly will cause Young Bucks to lose or each other to lose. I think early on they're going to coexist to try to take out Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. We'll probably see a little bit of a faux pas, and they'll start getting angry at each other. They'll start brawling on each other. I think they are going to cause themselves the win, and I think Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus will retain the tag titles. Shout out to Al Tyler. Everybody, say hello to Al, Big Al. Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. I know a lot of people think that Jon Moxley is going to get the win. He came back from rehab. You know, he is, you know, they want to reestablish, you know, his dominance. They want to get him on a winning streak. Bryan Danielson suffering a couple of losses off of Hangman Page. I mean, if it was me, I would go with Bryan Danielson getting the win in this match. I don't know how you all feel. I'm curious of what your reactions are, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Bryan Danielson will eke out a win in this. I mean, are we going to get interference? Is somebody going to come out and get involved with Jon Moxley? I don't know. I mean, you know, this is a straight-up match. I know they don't do DQs, but I almost feel like somebody's going to get involved in this match. I don't see a sign of respect after the match is over, by the way. I'm going to go with Bryan Danielson. Even though I can understand why a lot of people out there would think Jon Moxley gets the win, especially under the circumstances. Comeback win. Wow. I'm almost tempted to change. You know what? I'm going to go Jon. You look at the other outcomes. Jay Cargill's a heel. You know, the babyface trios team wins. Jurassic Express and Luchasaurus win babyface. All right, I'm going to go with Bryan Danielson. I'll stick with it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston's got to get this. Jericho hyping himself up as the big one. and Eddie Kingston is the people's champion. Not trying to bite off The Rock, but obviously he is the one that is more over with the fans. I got to go with Eddie Kingston to win this. I think Chris Jericho will be forced to acknowledge Eddie Kingston. Where this leaves Santana and Ortiz afterwards, I have no idea. I don't see Santana and Ortiz turning on Eddie Kingston. It would be foolish because they are the most over tag team in AEW, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with Eddie Kingston to win this match. Maybe Santana and Ortiz swerve Jericho. A lot of people want to see Jericho turn heel. What happens with Jake Hager in all of this? I don't know. Right now, we don't know the last spot in the Face of the Revolution. It's either going to be Christian Cage or Ethan Page. Nonetheless, I can't see either one of them winning it. I mean, if this would have been 6 to 9 months ago, I would have said Ethan Page, but I don't see either one of them winning it. So no matter who ends up with that final spot, we have the winner of Friday versus Keith Lee versus Wardlow with Sean Spears versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Orange Cassidy. The winner will get a future shot at the TNT Championship. So you got to keep in mind Sammy Guevara is the champion. So whoever wins would ultimately, down the line, take on Sammy Guevara. So you think of opponents. Let me repeat the names, but when I repeat the names, think of Sammy Guevara as that person's opponent. Keith Lee, Wardlow, Ricky Starks, Orange Cassidy, Ethan Page, Christian Cage, or Powerhouse Hobbs. I get this weird feeling that Orange Cassidy is going to get a TNT championship opportunity. I don't want to see it. And God, please do not have Danhausen put curses. Could you imagine it now? Could you imagine Ricky Starks and Orange Cassidy climbing the ladder and then Danhausen shows up and just does this and Ricky Starks falls off the ladder? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen. I don't want to see a Danhausen appearance in that. No freaking way. So, you know what? I would love to see Hobbs win this. I absolutely would love to see Keith Lee win this, but I think Keith Lee may feud with Powerhouse Hobbs after this. So, believe it or not, I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy. I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy. I almost feel like him versus Sammy Guevara would be an interesting match. So I'm going to think outside the box and going with Orange Cassidy. Dr. Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship. Boy, Thunder Rosa won that brawl. Britt Baker, like she said, she got the figure, she's got the title, she's got the shirts. What do you do with this? I mean, Britt Baker, you know there's going to be a feud with Jamie Hayter down the line. Thunder Rosa, she ain't beaten Jade Cargill for the championship. I honestly think we need a babyface women's champion. And as much as I think Britt Baker has done an excellent job, I feel it's time to give the championship to Thunder Rosa. You can have a faux pas. You could have Rebel cause the loss. You could have Jamie Hayter cause the loss. You could have whatever you want. Have fucking Danhausen come out there and put spells. I think Thunder Rosa's got to get this win. Because Thunder Rosa, if she doesn't win this, where do you go from here? There's no AEW Women's Tag Team Championships. We have to have at least one title change, don't we? I'm going to go with Thunder Rosa to win. CM Punk versus MJF. There's a lot of people that think MJF is going to get two wins over CM Punk. Another win, I should say. I don't think so. CM Punk has to beat the balls off of MJF. This will be a blood fest. Both will bleed profusely. Will Wardlow end up costing MJF the match? Remember, Wardlow only has one loss, and that was to CM Punk because of MJF's involvement. I think CM Punk is going to win this, and we will see if Wardlow and MJF have the final split. Maybe after the match is over, MJF starts slapping the shit out of Wardlow. Wardlow, remember I compared it to when Bobby Heenan was slapping Andre and Andre grabbed him, and then you had Haku in the background ready with the kick. You might have Sean Spears ready with the chair to wail on Wardlow when Wardlow puts his hands on MJF. So will they do all that at Revolution? I hope so. But this is going to be a feud, a blood feud. I think it might be the match of the night. There's going to be so much intensity, and it's got an awesome storyline behind it. I'm going to go with CM Punk to win. And this leaves Hangman Page versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. You can't call it heavyweight. Remember that. I'm going with Hangman Page to retain. Could we get the return of Kenny Omega? It's a possibility. Kenny Omega's been out for quite some time. You almost feel like he's got to make a return sometime soon. It doesn't necessarily mean he has to wrestle right away, but I think Hangman Page is going to win this match. We will get clusterfuck. You will see people getting involved, but I don't think there's any question Hangman Page is going to win this match. You'll probably see Red Dragon get involved. Hell, go back to the tag match from earlier. If Red Dragon cost the Young Bucks the win, Young Bucks are about to win, Red Dragon screws something up, and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy squeak out a win. Later on, when the Young Bucks, or better yet, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly come out there to try to help Adam Cole, Young Bucks may come out there and put a stop to it, and that costs Adam Cole the win. I think that's where they're going to go with that. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are going to cost the Young Bucks the win for the tag titles earlier, and I think as a result, the Young Bucks are going to screw up Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly's interference trying to get Adam Cole the win. So, all right. So that is your predictions for Revolution. Yes, I will be doing a recap immediately after Revolution goes off the air. So, all right, a little bit about NXT very quickly. Tommaso Ciampa commented about his theme music being changed. That was the topic of conversation Monday on Raw, and it eked over to NXT. And Tommaso Ciampa had a few words to say about his theme music being changed. He says, and I quote, "Let's address the elephant in the room. Personally, I like the new music. More importantly, I love the message, fight to survive. It resonates with me on a deeper level. We all face our own struggles in life, obstacles we must overcome. We all have our own fight, whether it's a battle with mental health, cancer, a physical disability, self-doubt, or anything else. We must always fight to survive. Over the past few years, I've become far more active with charities and nonprofits to give kids the world." I know as I'm reading this, you're probably saying, wow, he got extremely deep about a theme song. And I'm not knocking him, but he got deep with this. I mean, when he says this, how could you say bullshit? You can't. You're just stuck like... Anyway, he says, "Over the past few years, I've become far more active with charities and nonprofits like Give Kids the World Village. The pandemic has swept the nation. And to be quite honest, with the current state of things, I'd much rather spread a message like fight to survive than no one will survive. I sure as heck would rather teach my daughter that lesson. I've been in this business 17 years now. My platform has never been bigger than it is right now. My moment is now, literally and metaphorically. And every day I choose to fight to survive." So that is his statement about his theme music. Again, how do you argue with that? It's almost like when people were complaining with Jade that night, and then she's got a daughter in her arms. It's like, you know, how can you be a dick? You know, like, sometimes you got to, like, respect the personal side of it. So I know, I know. All right. Let's go over quickly the results from NXT. And I got to pull this up. Just give me 2 seconds because I accidentally did not take it down and put it in my note. I have a lot of notes, but I didn't put the match results in here. So hang on. Here we go. All right. First off, match results. We'll get into a couple of tidbits for NXT. So we have Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa defeat Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. And after the match was over in a backstage segment, Ziggler wanted his title shot. Ciampa wants a title shot. And next week, we are having a three-way dance for the NXT championship. Next week, they're calling it, what are they calling it again? NXT Roadblock. So a couple of decent matches announced for NXT Roadblock. But first, the tag match, Dolph Ziggler and Bron Breakker getting the win over Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. Robert Roode getting his glorious music back. That's one of the better songs that WWE has had in recent years. Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu over Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta to advance in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Later on, Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade beat Yulisa Leon and Valentina Veros to also advance. So we now have the quarterfinal brackets. I will share them with you in a few moments. Last Legend defeating Amari Miller. Amari Miller stretchered out after the match was over, and Last Legend again. Nothing against her. She's coming from the WNBA. She doesn't have a wrestling history, so you obviously have to start somewhere. Why they keep putting it on USA Network baffles me. I don't know why they don't do Dark Match or they put it on Level Up, but, you know, they keep putting her out there, and she just doesn't have enough time in yet. I think at some point she may put it all together, but that was kind of hard to watch yesterday. Gunther over Solo Sikoa to get the win. Harland over Draco Anthony. Von Wagner over Andre Chase. And the main event, Carmelo Hayes beating Pete Dunne to retain the NXT North American Championship. Couple of other tidbits from NXT yesterday. We had a confrontation with Grayson Waller and LA Knight, and next week they will have a last man standing match. Confrontation yesterday, it kind of fell flat. LA Knight, you know, I think it was a little bit off on his game. We have the continuing build of the split between Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. Persia is, you know, with Duke Hudson. After their tag team loss yesterday, Duke Hudson is consoling Persia. Indy is texting Dexter Lumis, and he's not responding. So that marriage is on its fritz. We had another goofy segment with Briggs and Jensen arguing backstage, I think, about buying a truck. I honestly was not paying attention to it. Electra Lopez, you know, it's different, but Tiffany Stratton. It's not impressed with Saray's, like, charm, the necklace charm. She's showing it off to everyone. Tiffany Stratton, not impressed. She shoves Saray, so we're probably getting that match next week. Okay. Kind of funny, the dynamic going on online right now with Tiffany Stratton and Nikita Lyons. Speaking of Nikita Lyons, she cuts a promo challenging Last Legend to a face-to-face next week. All right, you know, since everybody, for some reason, I think I know the reasons, but yeah, there's your gratuitous picture of Nikita Lyons. For all the people out there that like it thick, guess that's the way I put it, so there's your gratuitous picture. Tony D'Angelo cutting a promo that at Stand and Deliver, not next week, but Stand and Deliver, his opponent will sleep with the fishes. Who his opponent will be, we have no idea. Carmelo Hayes will defend the North American Championship at Stand and Deliver in a ladder match. So that's another match to look forward to at Stand and Deliver. And, yeah, that was pretty much your episode of NXT last night. Rating 551,000. Not a bad number when you take into account the State of the Union address by the president. Obviously, that dominated the TV airways. The ratings back it up. Doing 551 in the process. In fact, for anyone out there that wants to check out the ratings for the entire week, just disregard that sci-fi reference at the beginning because I forgot to delete that. So their rating went down 10%, but that's not all that bad. Raw went down 4%. Rampage last Friday went up just a tiny bit, but still a very low number of 473. SmackDown, after the Chamber, still went down. Impact stuck in the mud at 111. And Dynamite last week did 1,010,000. I think Dynamite will definitely have a little bit of an uptick. 1,010,000 last week, especially with the announcement. You know what? I think we might see 1.2 million this week. We may see 1.2 million on an AEW rating. Maybe 1,236,000. It's a random number. 1,236,000. Next week, the NXT Roadblock. We have Bron Breakker defending the NXT Championship against Tommaso Ciampa and Dolph Ziggler. We have Imperium defending the NXT Tag Team Championships against the Creed Brothers. We have a last man standing match between LA Knight and Grayson Waller. And Nikita Lyons will have a face-to-face with Last Legend. So, interesting. We will see next week. I think that'll be a lot of fun. For those that don't know, and look, yesterday, I think it was on Patreon yesterday, I had a few people send me messages. Oh, did you hear? AEW is going to California and they're going to Canada. And I was like, wow, interesting about Canada, especially since, you know, COVID is not completely out of here. And I said, that'd be pretty cool if they did something with the Owen Hart Cup, you know, the tournament in Canada. I said, let me get more information because I haven't heard anything about the Canada stuff. And then I realized why today. This is the AEW announcement going to Ontario, California. Few people out there, with all due respect, looked at this banner and said, oh, Ontario, CA, that has to be Canada. No, it's Ontario, California. Yeah, and that's Friday, June 3rd for Rampage. So they are doing an individual Rampage event in California. I expect more dates to be announced on the West Coast, but that's good. That is good. I'll be honest, Ben and everyone else, I never heard of Ontario, California before. But when I saw the banner, I had a good laugh out of it because I said, wait a minute. You know, I know the Toyota Arena, you know, is California. I said, okay, I could understand why somebody may think Toronto, Canada, but it's Toronto, California. Ontario, California. They're also coming to Detroit, Michigan, to the Little Caesars Arena on Wednesday, June 29th. So pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. So good. They're finally going to the West Coast. People have been wanting that. Obviously, COVID derailed it in 2020 because there was a lot of rumors of them going to the West Coast in 2020. Now they're finally coming. So for all of you on the West Coast that have been wanting that, enjoy. Enjoy. So last for tonight, because we're right at the 90-minute mark, which is what I wanted to do tonight. Right now, Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor, that's going to take place April 1st at the Garland, in Garland, Texas, at the Curtis Colwell Center. Now, more eyes are going to be on this with Tony Khan now purchasing Ring of Honor. The announced lineup as it stands is Shane Swerve Strickland, who you remember as Isaiah Swerve Scott, taking on Alex Zane. We have the Briscoes defending the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles. And then we have Bandido, who is the Ring of Honor champion, versus the original Ring of Honor champion holder, Jonathan Gresham, to determine the undisputed Ring of Honor world champion. Yeah, I know. Title for title. We saw that back when they first announced Terminus. But it's going to be interesting to see what is added to this. Could we see, you know, some former Ring of Honor talent that are in AEW right now performing? Absolutely. But remember, we have some wrestlers that are still part of Ring of Honor that are involved with Impact. It's going to be really interesting. I know we talked about it earlier, but I'll leave you with that to keep on your mind. It's going to be really interesting to see in the near future how that is handled in Impact Wrestling. My honest gut feeling, I don't know if Impact continues a relationship with AEW because it was awfully one-sided before and they hurt their product. I have talked about this before. There were a lot of Impact Wrestling fans that are not AEW fans that talked on here in the chat that they were not happy that Kenny Omega was their champion. It sent the wrong message to their roster. Since Ring of Honor, obviously with the changeover, it's not like selling a car. Hey, Tony, here's the keys. Oh, yes, let me start the car up and drive away. No, there is a lot. It is very complicated. This is going to take 6 months to maybe a year to have everything well-oiled and where it should be. So does Tony Khan allow Impact Wrestling to continue this storyline? It's got to come to a conclusion. And then this way, because there's going to be some real confusion there. And I just, right now, the way it seems, I don't see any involvement with AEW and Impact Wrestling. I mean, could you imagine if they do the commercials again where Tony Khan shows up on Impact and he says, I own Ring of Honor now. Oh, man. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. I know what some people are thinking, NWO, that Tony Khan and his Ring of Honor group is going to try to take over AEW and turn AEW upside down. I know, look, like I said, if you're a wrestling fan, there's no reason to knock this. There really isn't. I mean, this is another company, another opportunity. There are some very worthy people out there, from William Regal to Gabe Sapolsky to Kari Silken, and I could keep going on and on and on, Samoa Joe and others, that could really, you know, do some good things for Ring of Honor. Remember, and I'll leave you with this also, and I have a couple of super chats too, but and some questions in the chat, but I'll leave you with this. You know, you think of AEW, you think of people working behind the scenes. You had Cody, and again, it's kind of a shame that what happened with Cody went downhill because maybe Cody could have been involved with this as well. But you look behind the scenes, you got Kenny Omega, and you see his influence on the women's division in Japanese wrestling. You look at Cody, what he was doing. You think of the Young Bucks, and you think of everybody in management, who that working behind the scenes. In Ring of Honor, none of them are officers. None of them have any partial ownership in it. Tony Khan could very well offer them an opportunity to contribute behind the scenes in Ring of Honor, but what Tony Khan has working behind the scenes of Ring of Honor can be 100% different than what is being done in AEW. Remember, AEW is the one making money right now. Maybe they're not making a great profit, but they're making money. They're making money. They're making tens of millions of dollars in revenue. Ring of Honor is not. So you're not going to drop everything to revive Ring of Honor and then at the expense of AEW. But when you really think about it, you know, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. So, I know a couple of these I might have already answered. Tommy D, thank you very much again for the kind words. Yeah, he mentioned, you know, my original discussion on that Q&A about Tony Khan with the announcement. And hopefully I preached a little bit of knowledge tonight as you wanted. Thank you again, my friend. Appreciate that. Steve Joseph, if I had the money, would I buy Ring of Honor? After everything that I said today, the answer is no. I would not drop $20 million in Ring of Honor unless I was in the wrestling business, unless I had some type of ability to stream that service, put it on a network, charge $5 a month, whatever it is. You know, if this was my career, I would consider it if I had that kind of coin. But I will say this, if my entire bankroll was only about $30, $40, $50 million, I would not invest half of the money that I owned to buy Ring of Honor. I wouldn't even invest half the money that I owned to buy a house. So the fact that Tony Khan purchased it, even if it turns out to be a dud, that revenue from the streaming will still generate money. And remember, he could ultimately put Ring of Honor on the shelf and just offer streaming of Ring of Honor's yesteryear. And if you don't have any employees other than the streaming service, and I'm sure that there's no royalty set up with the wrestlers, I doubt there's any royalties set up where these wrestlers are getting any residuals from Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor could get, you know, Tony Khan could get a steady little streaming amount of income every month just from the streaming alone. But I think there's going to be a lot more to that. So we will see. We will see. But for me, you know, unless I had hundreds of millions of dollars, I wouldn't do that. King of Games, in 2002 when Steve Austin walked out, was I upset with him initially? I was disappointed. You know, I mean, he took his ball and he went home. See, the thing you got to remember is I was friends with his ex-girlfriend, Tess Broussard. And to this day, I am blocked from everywhere from Steve Austin because of that friendship and interview. The interview that I had, I would never repost it. And people have tried to get me to repost it. People have offered me money because of the accusations that she made. And, you know, how I became friendly with, I don't even want to talk about tonight, but, you know, I was disappointed when he left. But when I talked to her and she started telling me the personal stuff with him, and then he had the issue with the arrest, then he had the incident in the restaurant, then the incident in the car, then the accident, and then the other things. Like, it painted a picture of Steve Austin that I didn't want. And look, that was 20 years ago. Steve Austin in 2022 is not the Steve Austin in 2002. I absolutely feel that Steve Austin, whatever problems or character flaws that he had in 02, I think have been fixed. I also believe in hindsight that a scorned ex-girlfriend would inflate some of the accusations. So in hindsight, looking back on it, I think some of the claims were a little exaggerated on her part. But I had other reasons why I was disappointed for him to walk out, to be honest with you. And VJ, who has had the better title run, Big E or Hangman Page? I got to go with Hangman Page. I mean, Hangman Page has not had many title defenses, but you have two five-star matches, you know, arguably five, and I don't rate matches, but I'm just using that for example. When you have people labeling it a five-star match, that means it is one of the best that you have ever seen. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it didn't get to that. But then again, would you ever expect that kind of a match from Big E? No. I don't think it's fair to compare Big E and Hangman Page's reigns. But I will say I have enjoyed Hangman Page's reign more. So, all right. So, you know what? If we got about 5 minutes left. If anybody has any quick question you want me to answer from the chat, just put the letter Q, you know, capital letter Q before your question so it stands out so I can see it. Because, you know, there's a lot of everyone chatting in the chat, which is awesome. I love when everybody is hanging out, having a good time. Obviously, some interesting stuff we talked about tonight. But, yeah, I'll spend about 5 minutes. Don't forget tomorrow night for our channel members here on YouTube, Q Q&A. So if you're a channel member, join me live tomorrow, 10.05 p.m. I come tomorrow with a blank piece of paper. You know, maybe if I get more information about Ring of Honor, we'll talk about it. But whatever you have for your questions, I will be more than happy to answer them. And so far, I don't see any questions. I don't see any. Some questions I wouldn't repeat here, but Charlie, accusations true about who? About who? So, yeah, Rob S. Yeah. If anybody wants to see something about Chris Benoit, by the way, there is a YouTube channel that I follow called Scott on Tape. Basically travels, and he documents his travels. He went to the Chris Benoit house, and not only did he go, but he flew a drone over the property, and it is creepy. Video's about 15 minutes long, longer than a Carbella Corey episode, but look it up on YouTube. Just type Chris Benoit, Scott on Tape. And if you enjoy his video, tell him I sent you. I'm a big fan of his work. He's a little nutsy, but he just put it online like 3 days ago. It's you realize that Chris Benoit and Nancy and the family, they lived almost like isolated. Go check out the video. Seriously. I think some of you may find it extremely interesting. VJ's asking, have I decided who the next Forbidden Door guest will be? No, it hasn't even been a week since Solid Monster was on. I know a lot of you want him on again, you know, down the line, but I'm reviewing it. I know a bunch of you out there had sent in an idea with a podcaster with the initials KC. The only reason why I didn't post them is because I don't want to keep writing the same thing 1,000 times, but I will tell you here that that person has publicly and privately in DMs to people, which I have seen, he has zero interest in coming on here and doing an episode. So, you know, for everyone that asked, you got your answer. So, but no, next week I'll narrow it down and, you know, I'll reach out to a few and see, you know, who wants to come on. I can't see why any of them would not want to. Darren, I'm actually ordering the Alpha Academy Shoosh shirt tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think Pro Wrestling Tees is going to have a 20% off sale, guys. So if you go on Pro Wrestling Tees, I think tomorrow's 20% sale. I know AEW merch is going to go on sale, but I think it may be across the board. Don't quote me on it, but I got something in my email box about a discount code, even for my stuff that's still up there. Yeah, as contracts expire, Rob, AEW wrestlers will be released. You know, absolutely. Too many people on the payroll. Now, with Ring of Honor, and believe me, you don't want to take some of those AEW wrestlers and just put them in Ring of Honor. With all due respect, I do not want to see Marco Stunt in Ring of Honor. You know, there's a few wrestlers that they're letting go I don't want to see in Ring of Honor. So you don't want that to be cast. It'll be handled the right way, I think. Garth, if I want to know about Ken Shamrock history, go to a YouTube channel called Sport Legend Part 1. So, yeah, that might be something that everyone's interested. The Austin accusations, do I think they're true? I think some of what she said was true. I think some of what she said was exaggerated. But I was not there, so I'll never know 100%. And it's 20 years ago, so I really try not to think about it anymore. Benjamin is asking, will Tony Khan bring in other people to run Ring of Honor? Rewind tonight's episode to the beginning, because I talked about various people that, and I just said, I think 5 minutes ago that, you know, I don't think the people running AEW will run Ring of Honor. So yeah, no, I definitely see other people coming in. If that's his plan, and I think it is, I do not think for 1 minute he has any intentions on just having Ring of Honor as the video library. I think he is definitely wanting to revive it as a promotion, and I will almost guarantee it. I can't see him being compared to Vince McMahon shutting down WCW. He would not allow it. There's no way. There's just no way. So, yeah, no, Ring of Honor will come back. Thank you, Eddie K. Yes, I did. Anyone out there, if you saw Raw on Monday, especially the match with Finn Balor winning the championship off of Damian Priest, if you watch again the center camera, there was a big Donzilla sign. That was Eddie K. Zyla themes. That was a sign because I'm the leader of the Donzilla Army. Don Tony, Donzilla, Donzilla Army. So, yeah, that was another Donzilla sign. Should Tony focus more on making AEW better? I got news for you. Having a secondary company to build some talent that don't get the weekly opportunity in AEW, yeah, that can make AEW better. Absolutely. Absolutely. I did hear, Kevin, about Scott Hall falling and breaking his hip. I'm going to get the details. I'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, you bring up his age, 63 years old, and I've said this before, you know, you get older, your bones are very frail. You could fall and die from a stupid little fall. I mean, you know, crazy shit happens. The older you get, you know, the smallest issues in health could do you in. And he fell and he broke his hip. Now, you know, we don't know the details of his fall, but man, breaking your hip at 63 years old, that is serious shit, man. So, you know, he's in the hospital and, I hope he does well. I broke my hip. I mean, I've talked about it 50 million times on this show over the years in the hotlines. When I had my car accident, I broke my hip. I dislocated my hip as well. I had the double whammy. Not only did I break it, but I dislocated it as well. So the broken piece was completely separated. So, you know, it's no fun. And you know what the worst part about it is with Scott Hall? And I know nobody said this today, but I'll go there. The amount of pain that this man is going to be in, you think about his history with medicinal use, that is, I don't wish that on him because I still take pain medication to this day for my hip pain. You think of Scott Hall's history and having this happen? Oh my God. That's something that I don't think anybody thought about today. That's what I am worried about more than anything. How the hell does he deal with this pain? So I wish him nothing but the best, man. All right, two more minutes and we're gone. Because tomorrow we could have a big show. Rest in peace, NWA. I wouldn't say that. Like I said, Ring of Honor, it's going to take quite a while to change everything over. And it's going to be a while. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be really interesting to see what that Supercard of Honor is going to look like. Yep, I think we are done. With all due respect, some of the questions, I don't even know how to answer them. Yeah, anybody could relapse at any time. Anybody can. Yeah, don't wish that on anybody. So, all right, last question from Rob. Do I have any faith in Tony Khan owning Ring of Honor? Yes, I thought, I was hoping that that's how it came across when I opened up the show tonight. Tony Khan, you know, I don't want to keep repeating it. You could just click later with the timestamp, but Tony Khan, I think, is the right person to own it. I think... And I'll phrase this differently. I think a family-owned company, a non-publicly traded company, somebody who is a hardcore wrestling fan, someone who has hundreds of millions of dollars, someone who has a maybe an immature pride about themselves that maybe would keep it afloat even if it was losing money because it gave enjoyment. I mean, I know some of those traits is not necessarily, you know, what makes a company. But look at ECW. ECW will always be my favorite promotion of all time. Did they turn profits? I mean, look at it. I mean, people kept it alive as long as it did for the love of ECW. And, you know, hoping for a miracle that financially something would change. But that company was in the red for a long, long time. But we still enjoyed the shit out of it. So, Tony Khan, if anybody was going to turn it around, I actually really like Tony Khan as the person. Because like I said, even if it loses money in the beginning, if it's not a lot of money being lost, I could see him, just for the pride of a wrestling fan, just to try to make it work, for that ego factor, to not be, you know, put in the same category as Vince. I mean, that's probably who you want running Ring of Honor. If it was a new promotion, and by the way, either tomorrow or Saturday, I will talk about Control the Narrative, because they announced their TV deal, and it's exactly what we thought it was going to be. It's going to be like streaming, like through an app. I want to read this stuff. I'm not criticizing it. I want to get all the information, and we'll talk about it. So, all right, everybody, post all of your thoughts about Dynamite, Revolution, NXT, Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. Post it in the comment section. If you have any questions, follow-up questions from this episode tonight, post it in the comments as well. If you notice, since we started doing that the past couple episodes, I answer everybody's questions. So if you have a follow-up question, post it in the comment section, and I will answer it. And again, if you're a channel member, I will be here tomorrow night at 10:05 p.m. It will be live for our YouTube channel members. The audio version of it afterwards will be available to everyone, so you'll be able to get it. And by the way, yesterday's Patreon show is available at dontony.com if you want to download it. Yesterday ended up being episode 5,000 between my hotline and podcasting. Just the dates from 2.5 years ago, March 1st ended up being episode 5,000. No big parties or anything, just everyday business. But since we had some fun yesterday and just reminiscing a little bit, especially how we used to do early days of podcasting, I made the episode available to everyone. So you could go to dontony.com and you can check it out. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. And if I don't see you tomorrow, join me Saturday, 8:05 p.m. Eastern for the Don Tony Show. I'm sure we'll have a lot of topics to get into. You all stay safe, be strong, and continue thoughts and prayers with everybody involved with Ukraine, even Russia. And I can't obviously go off the air without saying it. I brought up yesterday, I watched a YouTube video over the weekend. It was a young couple that are not in favor of the war. They live in Russia. Husband, wife, 1 or 2 year old kid. They went grocery shopping. And all they did was they recorded how much the prices are in the grocery stores now in Russia. So I think about the regular folk in Russia as well, because there's a lot of people there that don't want war, that don't approve of what's going on. And unfortunately, you know, because of where they live, they can't speak out about it. And when you put all these sanctions on Putin, he takes it out on his people. So, you know, it's just nothing as good is coming out of this at all. But, yeah, no more war, man. Fuck war. Seriously. And we'll also, if you check out yesterday's episode, we talked about Cain Velasquez shooting that guy. He shot the wrong person. But, man, the stuff that's coming out on there, Cain Velasquez trying to blow away someone that molested, you know, a family member of his. And they only said is under the age of 14. Under the age of 14 could be 13, it could be 3. And it was a daycare center that the guy's mom was running. You think daycare centers, you normally don't see 10, 11, 12-year-olds in a daycare center. Usually they're much younger than that. It's a crazy story, man. Look, I don't ever condone pulling out a gun and trying to blow somebody away. But if this were a movie, my answer to what happened, Cain Velasquez should have aimed for the nuts. Unfortunately, he didn't shoot the right person. He shot the guy's stepfather instead, idiot. But, man, you gotta do it. Blow the guy's nuts away. That's what I say. Molesting children. Jesus. All right, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.